I am KYW's Dave Uram with the producers of yet another Eagles Christmas album. This one called A Philly Special Christmas Party, here with producers Charlie Hall and Connor Barwin. Of course, Charlie Hall from War on Drugs, Connor Barwin, former Eagle, currently head of football development and strategy with the Eagles. Guys, exciting once again that you have a third album coming out. I asked last year if the third album was on the way, and you weren't sure, so really exciting that it is here. Appreciate your time. Connor, let's start with you, and I'll ask you this, Charlie, too. Overall thoughts and emotions about this third, and from what I'm reading, final Eagles Christmas album.
First, thank you, Dave, for having us on. Awesome to be talking about this and to be having this record about to come out. You know, this one has been just as fun as the first two. It's gotten bigger, more people involved. I think Charlie and the guys continue to sort of elevate the music. And, you know, every time we're in the studio, ever sort of ideating, it's always so much fun about what potential there is. And, you know, this one to me, we ended up calling it A Philly Special Christmas Party because the word party just really sort of, you know, ties this whole thing up. From the very beginning to the end, it's been a party. It's been fun. And we've always wanted to bring more and more people into the fold. And, you know, from the first record to the last run, you know, there's probably 100 different musicians or people in the industry that have been involved in this record. And everybody has had a role and added value. And everybody, I think, you know, has been involved, is really proud of the music and what we've been able to do with it.
Definitely. Charlie, what are your emotions when it comes to this?
Yeah, it's a similar feeling, I think, like for me, for it to sort of like a snowball just every year kind of becomes bigger and more. The more people that are involved in this, the more this is just reflective of this great place where we live. And, you know, I just think that there's really something unique about this happening in Philadelphia that is it's worth celebrating. You know, it's I think that I don't know that anybody expected that this was going to be so such a fulfilling adventure just on every level. You know, musically, so proud of this record that we've made. I mean, proud of all of it, but it just, you know, it's like Connor said, it's been an elevation, I think. To have more spirit, you know, of more musicians and more champions, you know, kind of getting behind this thing, it just makes it better.
To follow up on what you were saying, that I don't know if anybody expected this to be what it's become. You guys have raised over $4 million for great charities in this area. I guess,
yeah.
You know, Charlie and Connor, and Connor, we'll start with you on this one. When you started this in 2022, did you expect this to be what it's become a few years later?
No, absolutely not. I can distinctly remember, you know, even Jason saying, well, if no one really likes it, we'll at least have this, you know, record that we all made in 2000 and whatever the first year was, 22, to sort of listen to and talk about and remember this time we all did this crazy thing and made some music together. And I can also remember my wife, who was sort of seeing the payments going out for producing that first record and how much it cost to make a record, and her looking at me like, you need to stop spending money on this record because you're not going to raise enough money to donate to charity. And I was very concerned that we wouldn't. And I thought initially, I've told people this, I initially was worried we wouldn't even be able to raise, you know, or donate more than $10,000 or $20,000 to CCTC. And the fact that we were able to raise $1.5 million, I mean, blew us all away. And I think everybody is just so proud to be a part of it. And then last year last year was different because we knew we would raise some money, but I don't know if we thought we would raise $3 million. And then this year, you know, we're excited to see what happens, but we've got ambitious goals. We've got some great partners, and, you know, hopefully again, this is sort of this is the last one, and we really do something really special with this record.
What are your sentiments on that, Charlie? I guess, you know, were you thinking the same thing like Connor, worried that this wouldn't raise enough money, at least the money that you were hoping that it would raise?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that just like Connor was saying, if it was like at first, it's like, well, if all we get out of this is this document of this this friendship between these three guys, you know, and like this this shared love of both of music and of, you know, I think they also share a sort of a ethos of philanthropy and, you know, like wanting to do something special for the city, you know, which is what kind of propelled this whole thing to start, to see that happen, you know, 100-fold, whatever, you know, it was just amazing. And so as everything, you know, that's why I guess I say it is a little surprising, like how much this has become something like deeply meaningful, you know, and in both in its production and in its what we've been able to do in the community.
Before we started talking, Charlie and Connor, Charlie, you referred to it as a trilogy. So given its popularity, I guess my question is, what led to the decision to this being the final Eagles Christmas album?
I mean, three's the sort of the magic number, right? I mean, there's a lot of mythology behind, you know, the Trinity and the thing, you know, that's whatever thing, you know, you want to, whatever example you want to use, but it just felt like the right, I don't know. We've like, it just keeps getting better. And yeah, on the one hand, it's like, why wouldn't we keep going? But this just felt like the perfect way to sort of tie this all up.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, all the guys, we've all had so much fun with it. You know, sometimes you got to know when to stop. And at least right now, maybe it feels like three records is where to stop. And hopefully, you know, people listen to this music for a long time. And, you know, I think the door isn't absolutely closed, though. You know, if Jason and those guys want to, you know, do another song or something like that, I think everybody's open to doing that. But I don't know. It's just there's just a feeling like, you know, this is the peak of it, especially with, you know, we've got three original songs on this record, got a bunch of features on this record. This just feels like it's sort of peaking right here. And, you know, who knows, but three feels right.
It's three of them, you know.
that's a good way to put it. How did the experience of recording and producing this volume compare to the previous two?
I think with this one, it's almost everything came together in a bigger way. And when I say together, I mean like truly together. I mean, like in the past, we sort of would be like working with different configurations of the band, you know, and this time I think we wanted to kind of make a concerted effort to sort of have everyone be, you know, everyone that's musically speaking, like everyone that's involved in this has just been just absolutely generous with, you know, not just with their playing, but like with, you know, their investment in making this the best it can be. So just having everyone brought ideas, you know what I mean? It wasn't just like people show up and play and leave. It was like, it became clear to me literally from the first day we started tracking this one, that everyone was like, everyone's hearts were in this, not just their minds, you know? So that, I guess this is my way of saying, like, we kind of approached this in a sort of like a big, much bigger way, like having eight people on the floor, which in a way is sort of unheard of, you know? It's like, it is easier to start with like, just build things up in small groups, but like, we just, everyone's so cooperative and sort of, respectful of each other and confident to sort of bring their ideas to the table. So it was just great having everyone around. It's, you know, it's a little crazy, but it just works because of everyone's like how much everyone is sensitive to each other and working together and no egos, just like everyone just completely, you know, generosity of just complete generosity of spirit, really.
Definitely.
So that was sort of like my philosophy going into this a bit, was just kind of like having everybody together and like honoring everyone's ideas and trying things that people brought to the table, you know?
Well, you can tell it's a very collaborative process, and I've been privileged to hear the entire album. And one of my favorite songs, and I know that the album list has been out there already, one of my favorite songs is the Christmas Don't Be Late song, because there's a particular, I don't want to give it away in case you guys don't want it out yet, so I'm going to speak like in code about this. There's a particular popular person from the Eagles on that song that I think a lot of people in this town will love hearing from. And it's an example of how, through these three albums, other Eagles, in addition to Jason, Jordan, and Lane, have been involved in this project. So, Connor, this one's for you. Why was it important to involve more Eagles and people from the Eagles beyond those three?
Well, I think more people want to be involved. We want to get more people involved. And it speaks to sort of the collaboration. I mean, we were together. All of us were together so much this year, and we started way earlier than we have in the past. And this is just a product of sort of like ideating and throwing things out there and trying things. And, you know, we identified that song, Christmas Don't Be Late. And then we sort of figured out how can we make this true to Philadelphia? How can we make this true to Jason, Jordan, and Lane? How can we make it funny? How can we make this as good as it can be? And then when people listen to it, they'll all figure out what you're alluding to. But it just works, right? That's why you liked it. It's just sort of perfect and funny. And I think that was a product of, again, just all of us being together and being in an environment where people, you know, were open to throwing out ideas and landing on whatever was best for the record.
The original premise of this project, of course, has been raising money for great charities. The Children's Crisis Treatment Center is important, as well as Chop Snowflake Station. And you guys have raised, as we've mentioned, tons of money. Charlie and Connor, Charlie, we'll start with you. Why was it important originally to raise money for these important causes, starting with the first album?
Well, we are lucky to have, you know, we're lucky to live in an area where we have these great resources. You know, they're just both CCTC and CHOP are doing incredible work. And so to be able to amplify that and to help in some way, I mean, I can, you know, it's as a parent, and as a former social worker, I can, you know, I just know firsthand, like, I've had experiences with both of these organizations and sort of very, like, just so appreciative of the work that they do. So that was, you know, it was kind of a no-brainer, really, as sort of like when you think about, like, impact, you know, whenever you know, sort of raising money for something, you want to sort of figure out like what's the best value, like what's the best impact for the, you know, these dollars, and just to know that those eight organizations are doing such great work, like was kind of to me it seemed like a no-brainer. I think I speak for Connor too.
Yeah, no, I'll just add, I mean, CCTC and CHOP are amazing. I think our sort of roadmap for this whole project, from the very beginning till now, every decision is made with, you know, these three things in mind. Is one, like, let's have fun. Two, let's make great music. And three, let's make a difference around the holidays. And Charlie has kids. I have young kids. Jason has young kids. Lane has young kids. Mm-hmm. And so we're all sort of in this moment in our lives, you know, especially sort of, you know, me and Kelsey and Lane with younger kids, that we realize how special Christmas is. For kids, it is like, I mean, the holidays, it is a magical time. And to be doing something that can bring a little bit of joy to especially young kids that maybe are, you know, Christmas is, you know, they've fallen on hard times because of their circumstance. Mm-hmm. To be able to do that is, I mean, that's incredible when you step back and think about that. I mean, I know just thinking about my kids and how magical Christmas is for them. So you want to be able to share that with other kids, and this record and the people that have supported it have allowed us all to do that.
And I'm sure this one's going to raise a lot of money too, especially if word gets out there, and it kind of has already, that this appears to be the final album. And of the 12 songs, and again, the 12 songs, the list of songs, three of which are originals, have been, you know, publicly reported on already. But from my standpoint, and I'm no music expert like you, Charlie and Connor, I'm no music expert, but from my standpoint, I feel like there's a great balance of fast-paced songs, slower songs, good genre, different types of genres and whatnot, recognizable classics, and maybe ones that you don't recognize as much. It's a really good balance, as always. And it closes, and I'm curious if you guys recorded this one last. And if you didn't, my apologies for presenting the question like this. But the final song in the album is called The Parting Glass. So if that if that was the last one recorded and produced, because once you hear it, you'll recognize it almost is kind of like a goodbye after these three tremendous albums. So for both of you, and I'll start with Connor, what was it like recording and producing The Parting Glass?
Well, I'm going to let Charlie hit that, but obviously it's a really special song, and I'm happy you had that reaction to it when you listened to the song, because I think that's exactly how Charlie thought of it. And it is sort of a beautiful song and sort of a closing to this incredible project that we've all been on together. And it was a unique song to record. So, you know, I'll let Charlie handle that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was the last thing we finished, actually. So it's interesting that you asked that. But yeah, I mean, you know, before we had Auld Lang Syne, you know, before that became the sort of like ubiquitous sort of farewell song, The Parting Glass, for years, and, you know, hundreds of years, I think, in Scotland and Ireland, is sort of like the traditional end of the night farewell. And when you hear Jason sing those words, it's almost as if it was it's almost as if it's the fourth original on this record, because it speaks so much to sort of where he's at, you know, and with these guys, and, you know, saying goodbye to one chapter of his life and entering another one. So it sort of resonates on, for me, I think it really resonates like on a number of levels. It is sort of the end of the party, you know, last song on the record, it is the end of the party. They're saying goodbye. So it just sort of felt like, and also there's just something really nice about hearing just their voices and nothing else, you know, hearing that blend. It sort of is like the, for me, sort of the perfect stamp of just hearing that harmony, because that's kind of, in a figurative sense, what this thing has been about the entire time, which is the sort of the harmony of their relationships together.
Well, you guys have produced three tremendous albums that have raised tons and tons and tons of money for great causes. And if this is the last one, simply put, great job, which is an understatement, I think. Great job, and I'm sure people are going to love it. And I appreciate your time, as always, Charlie Hall and Connor Barwin.
Thanks, Dave.
Hey, Dave, I would say for people that are listening, you can help us all out by pre-ordering on 11/1, so we can make sure we get enough vinyl made, so everybody's happy. This year, the pre-orders are really important when you're producing vinyl. We want to make sure everyone gets them. And I'm curious, you know, you mentioned Christmas Don't Be Late, but what other songs resonated with you when you listened to it from start to finish?
I love the It's Christmas Time in Cleveland Heights, because obviously that includes Travis and Jason once again. And I just thought that was a nice kind of a, I don't know if that was exactly an original or a playoff of.
Oh, yeah.
But
that's a brand new song written by
totally original
Zach from Dr. Dog.
Nice, nice. I thought that was a great song. I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed. I loved Santa Drives an Astro Van. I just thought it was a fun song, and I particularly liked, and again, I'm not a music expert, but there was a point in the song, at least a couple of times, where nobody was singing, but there was this background kind of piano playing of, and I'm forgetting the song that's on the top of my head, maybe Charlie or Connor, you can fill me in, but do you know what I'm talking about? There's that little piano playing in the background.
Yeah, there's a couple different Christmas songs here being quoted.
Right. I thought that was a really good one. Sleigh Ride, of course, is a very recognizable song that I thought was great. And mm-hmm. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. But from
awesome. Yeah, Lane really sings that one so beautifully.
Yeah, I mean, from top to bottom, I mean, this is just, I feel like this is an album where you're going to be sitting down this fall, this winter, inside at your home on a cold day and just enjoying listening to the 12 songs in consecutive order.
Oh, great.
That's what I feel like.
Thank you. I hope so.
So, great job.
I know I will be.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people will be too. But like you said, Connor, and I want to mention it again, and thank you for bringing it up. November 1st is when you can pre-order the limited edition white vinyl LP. That's for pre-order. And that's a lot of the proceeds go to those special causes, CTC, CHOP, and those causes. And then November 29th is when the full release of the album comes out on digital platforms, 12 songs, including 3 originals, which we've spoken a little bit about. So Connor Barwin, Charlie Hall, great job, and I appreciate your time as always.
Thanks so much, Dave.